Sciences program. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amos.indiana.edu. To get podcasts, click on the podcast button. Once again, our web address, amos.indiana.edu, and for podcasts, click on the podcast button. For a moment of science, I'm Don Glass.
In sports, Scott Kazmir will throw the first pitch tonight when Tampa Bay hosts Philadelphia for Game 1 of the 2008 World Series. The Phillies will counter with Cole Hamels. The Patriots placed Rodney Harrison on season-ending injured reserve today, and he may have played his last NFL game. New England's 35-year-old safety, who is in the final year of his contract, tore a thigh muscle in Monday night's 41-7 defeat of Denver. Defending Stanley Cup champion Detroit brings a 3-1-1 record into this evening's skate in St. Louis against the 4-1 Blues in a matchup of Central Division rivals. Meanwhile, the Edmonton Oilers bring a four-game winning streak into the United Center tonight to take on the Chicago Blackhawks. The Oilers went 3-1-0 in last season's series against the Hawks, winning once in two tries in Chicago. And the Bulls are on the road again tonight to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves in preseason NBA action. Chicago improved to 2-4 with last night's win over Dallas. Minnesota, meanwhile, is 5-1 in exhibition play. That's sports.
WILL programs are made possible by the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra, presenting Halloween Fright Night on Friday, October 31st at 7:30 p.m. in the Great Hall of the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. It's an evening of haunting music and surprises. More information is available at 351-9139.
It's 2:42. The Northeast is increasingly a Democratic stronghold. Over the last 4 years, Republican governors, U.S. senators, and members of Congress have been swept from office. Some are predicting that 2008 could bring another round of setbacks for the GOP. But as Brian Mann reports in the last segment of our series on how the presidential campaign is playing in rural America, conservative small-town voters could limit Republican losses in some surprising places.
Alan Wood from Scotterville with the John Deere 4010 will be up next.
Under a late summer sun, men in oil-stained T-shirts and battered straw hats are competing in a tractor pull. This is the Scaticoke Fair in New York's Rensselaer County. Fairs are a big draw in upstate New York, and with the crowds come the politicians.
I'm proud to meet you. My father served in World War II.
How old is your father?
He's no longer with us, I'm sorry to say.
I'm 91.
Oh, good for you. Wow.
Surrounded by hay bales and brightly colored bunting, Republican Sandy Treadwell is shaking hands and handing out flyers.
I used to be in the 4-H and showed calves, my father's Holstein calves.
This part of New York looks more like rural Iowa than the Bronx. And for decades, voters here have favored Republicans by wide margins. The latest polls conducted across rural America show John McCain holding a 10-point lead over Barack Obama. Treadwell, who's running for New York's 20th congressional district, says the GOP's small-town loyalty runs deep.
I think we're an independent Yankee population, by and large, and those people are natural conservative folks and Republican people.
Cities and suburbs in the Northeast have turned away from the GOP, tossing out Republican governors, senators, and members of Congress. But polls show that small towns in the region share a lot of concerns with rural voters across America, the economy, but also opposition to same-sex marriage and concern about abortion. Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand won this district in an upset, defeating veteran Republican John Sweeney, a close ally of George Bush, who was crippled by a series of scandals. She now finds herself locked in a tough re-election fight.
For our district, I think many, many folks will support John McCain. I think at the end of the day, in our district, people don't mind having a split ticket. I know a lot of times they feel comfortable with voting their own party for the presidential, and they might feel that I could vote for a Democrat for my congressional representative because I know her and I like her.
Across the Northeast, Democrats have expanded their lead in voter registrations, but Gillibrand will need every Republican she can get. In this small-town heavy district, the GOP still holds an 80,000 voter advantage.
I mean, what strikes me is how little things have changed.
Bill Bishop is an expert on rural politics and author of a new book called The Big Sort. Bishop says that in small towns like Scaghtikoke, the Republican brand isn't broken at all. The party is deeply entrenched, he says, as much a part of the social fabric as the local football team or the Chamber of Commerce.
The blocks aren't about leadership and policy. They're about community and place and people's sense of themselves.
In close elections, for Senate seats in Maine and New Hampshire, for example, that kind of small-town loyalty could mean more than the national zeitgeist. If Republicans are right, these small towns could serve as a sort of political backstop, limiting the party's congressional losses in November and offering a foundation for rebuilding. For the Public Radio Rural Issues Project, I'm Brian Mann in Scaghtikoke, New York.
Today's broadcast is made possible by The Great Impasta, a restaurant serving foods from northern Italy. The Great Impasta offers a private dining room for parties, meetings, and other events. The Great Impasta, 114 West Church in Champaign. The staff at The Great Impasta encourage you to join them in supporting WILL.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. Good afternoon, I'm Celeste Quinn. In this portion of the program, we continue our occasional series of interviews with people making a difference, leading us to better lives and stronger communities. My guest this afternoon is Margaret Neal. She makes her home in Champaign. She's a resident leader at Joanne Dorsey Homes. She also chairs the Resident Advisory Council for the Housing Authority of Champaign County. Recently, the agency honored her by dedicating the Margaret Neal Community Resource Center. It's just one of the honors she's received for her work over the years. In a News Gazette profile of Margaret Neal published in September, the descriptions of her included these: mentor, motivator, and mother hen. From the profile, readers learned that Neal is someone who is interested in the well-being of all, and I'm very pleased to have her as my guest. Margaret Neal, welcome.
Thank you.
What kinds of activities take place in the Resource Center?
We have some youth programs, and one is called JAM, Juniors Achieving a Mission. And this is an after-school program for middle and high school students. And we wanted to provide them with projects to improve the quality of their life by mentoring the older students to help them stay out of trouble. So we have educational, but yet we have fun, and we also believe in giving back in the community. So we have our youth up going into communities where seniors live and raking leaves. We did last fall, and a couple meetings at Garden Hills, they did some child care. So we want to teach them to give back, because so many youth think if they do something for you, they always want to be paid. And we encourage them that this is a healthy way to contribute to their community.
Yeah, and do they take to that message pretty well?
Yeah, it seems it gives them great pleasure and joy. Once we got them out there and they were interacting with people, and we took them on several trips to let them know how much we appreciate the good behavior. They went to Indiana Beach and over in Springfield to the water slide. But overall, they come back to us and say, well, when we're going out, or who are we going to help this week? So we try to make this at least twice a month where they're giving back, even to the Housing Authority. They went over to Columbia Place, and that's a senior development. And they raked leaves over there and, you know, did things that would help beautify the area.
Yeah. What's it like for you to see these kids come up and become active members of the community, of the neighborhood, of the Champaign-Urbana area?
I've had the pleasure to see some of them grow up, and young girls even have babies. And when I look at how responsible they seem, And some of them have said, you know, it's because of something you said or something I did or I encouraged them to do. And also having a manager, Patricia Atkinson, we really work well together, and we just try to make sure that when older kids leave here, that they're ready to step out and become self-sufficient and not depend on, you know, public aid or some kind of assistance. And over the years, we've had great success with young people coming back. You know, I have a job at Walmart, or they go into Parkland. And we've even had a couple graduates from the U of I out here.
Something you said helped me out. What kinds of things do you like to talk with the children and the teens about? What kinds of things, what kind of messages are helpful for them?
Well, I always like the self-esteem part, and I use that phrase about when you look in the mirror, what do you see? You know, see your greatness. And because I try to encourage all of them that you really don't need anyone to validate your worthiness. It's about you. It's really about you. Because if you're living in public housing because your family is down on their luck, that's not a bad thing. It's only bad if you don't work towards becoming self-sufficient. And so, you know, because sometimes with young mothers and you know, the teenage girls, and then the peer pressure in school. And I said, if your mother can't afford something, it doesn't make you any less than somebody else. Because what I realized from working with a lot of parents, they want the same thing for their children as other people. And they discipline themselves because I said, most of our kids are well-dressed. And, you know, parents make sacrifices. And I encourage them to appreciate those sacrifices and know that's because your mother sees the worthiness in you, or your father, your grandmother. You know, make your family proud.
Well, that's really smart. What's a typical day like for you?
Well, I'm always trying to network with people in the community. And now this month, my project has been making contact with churches that are in close proximity to Joey and Dorsey. And as a matter of fact, Sunday, October 26th, we're going to have like a pancake breakfast for the family, for the families out here. And we have the New Hope Church of God in Christ that's on the corner of Bradley and Prospect. They're going to come and do like a Sunday school. We're going to start at 8:30, and it will be over with at 10:30. And so that's something new that we're trying. Because we have so many new people that have moved into this development from out of state. And I thought, you know, they move into a community, they really don't have any ties to churches, and a lot of them don't have relatives here. So why not create an opportunity for them to get to know the people at the churches, you know, that are in close proximity. And also the Church of God in Christ, which some call Love Corner, on the corner of 4th and Bradley. We met last night, and this all spiraled from voters' registration, that one of their deacons was the deputy register that came out here, and we registered over 30 people. And most of those people were not from Champaign. We had I'd say only 2% was from Champaign. The others were either Katrina or Chicago that have transitioned into our community.
Yeah. In the News Gazette article about you, a Champaign police officer is quoted as saying, "She makes sure to take care of everybody." Have you always had an interest in helping people and getting people together?
Yes, I have. When I became unable to work, I decided to volunteer in the community. And volunteering at the Girl Scout office, I became a volunteer minority recruiter. And that's how I actually met Mabel Thomas, who works for the city of Champaign. She was a manager over Parkside. So, you know, and I, with her, we had a troop over there. Then I volunteered at the Salvation Army. I did the Christmas Bureau. I did the commodity program they had. So I always felt like I needed to get out. I wanted to be involved. I couldn't just sit at home because I know that I have a gift to work with people. So I wanted to share and to be a part of making a difference in the life of others.
Yeah. You mentioned not being able to work. No life is without difficulties. How do you get through a rough patch?
You know, I'm so such a positive. I can just flip it because I feel that when my mind is trying to be depressed, you know, I just kind of look around me or I'll think, I always think about there's somebody worse than you. And I just kind of, I've just been able over the years to just talk myself out of depression if I saw it trying to attack me in any way. Because in spite of the fact that I'm unable to go out and drive and go places by myself, I'm always surrounded by people that want to do something for me.
Mm.
And when I go to doctors, like in Chicago or at Carl, they will say, you know, you have to be a lucky person because you always have somebody with you or somebody wanting to do something. And I say, yes, you know, I'm just so fortunate and blessed to be able to have people ask me and have an abundance of people in my life that need me or want some advice from me or will take care of me. You know, and now that my grandchildren are older, that's such a joy because they want to take me to the movies or, you know, so I really don't have time for depression because, and I'm always trying to think of innovative ideas for residents at Dorsey, for our youth, and that keeps me busy because I have to jot down things, you know, and I have a visualization of what I want, then it's about, they just seem like the people will just come together.
Mm. Well, I'm so happy to have been able to talk with you this afternoon and have you as a guest on my program. Thank you so much, and keep up the work that you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Margaret Neal has been my guest in this portion of the program. She's a person making a difference, leading us to better lives and stronger communities. Recently, the Housing Authority of Champaign County honored her by